Good afternoon. Welcome to our weekly Halacha Shiur here at the Chutz Chesed Yeshiva. Today the Shiur is not going to be as much Halacha because today we are going to be giving an introductionary Shiur to prayer. We're now going to be starting to discuss soon all the different Halachas relating to davening and how to pray, the brachas that we say before we start praying, how to pray to Hashem, Shmoneh Esrei, Kriyat Shema. So before that, we're going to give an introduction about prayer. And the reason is, we know that prayer, especially in the Breslov Chassidus, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov emphasized that prayer is considered to be the most elevated thing, the best way to connect to Hashem, and by speaking to Him. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Shalom Arush Shliter, always says that if you believe and you have faith, then you can speak, you can pray to Hashem. And if you don't have any faith, then you can't speak. The honest truth is that what Rosh Yeshiva says is actually what Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes, and he writes it at the beginning of Likutei Moharan in the 7th Torah. And we're going to read what he says because it is a fundamental introduction to prayer. Says Rabbi Nachman, Da, ki ikar hagalut eino ela bishvil chesron emunah. No, that the main reason that we are still in exile, that Mashiach hasn't come, that we have not been redeemed, is because we lack in faith, in emunah. The emunah, says Rabbi Nachman, hu b'chinat tefillah. Faith is prayer. Which means, if you have faith, if you believe in Hashem, you pray to Him. I believe that you're present. There is one of the great philosophers, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Descartes, who spoke about the paradox of the terrible dream with the devil. If I'm not mistaken, I can't remember whether it was Descartes or Kant, but he said that we might all be living in a dream and in a fantasy. See, you might not really exist. You might just be fictions of my dream, and soon my wife is going to say to me, Elchanan, wake up, it's time to go to mikveh, and I'm going to wake up and I'm going to find that none of you existed. Yet I believe that you're here, therefore I'm speaking to you. Which means if I believe that you're present, I will relate to you, I will have a connection with you, a conversation with you. So Rabbi Nachman says, if you believe in Hashem, if you have faith, then you pray. Emunahu tefillah. And how do we know that faith is prayer? The Unklu says it. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting against Amalek, when Am Yisrael was fighting the war against Amalek, which was not only a physical war, but it was also a spiritual war, Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting on a hill, and every time he raised his hands up high in the air, Am Yisrael were winning. And when his hands were lowered, Am Yisrael were losing. And the Pasuk there says, Vayhi Adav Emunah, his hands were faith. And the Unklus translates, Prisan bitzlo, vahavo yadoi prisan bitzlo. His hands were spread out in prayer, which is one of the reasons why Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says that when a person prays, therefore a person should raise his hands, just like Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands. And then Rabbi Nachman starts speaking about the intense power of prayer, and he says, "Vezeh b'chinat nisim lemala min hateva." This is miracles that are above the natural realm that we live in. We live in a world that we think is governed by nature. We have natural powers. When the sun is out, it's hot. And when there are clouds, it's cold. And in the winter, it's cold. In the summer, it's hot. And we have other natural processes. We get sick because there are diseases, etc. Says Rabbi Nachman, prayer is above nature. Because prayer is like a miracle. Ki ateva mechayevken. You see, the natural realm, it has its rules. We live in a set of rules, and there are things that nature, that we abide by, and in a sense, we are obligated to due to the natural realm. An example, if you put your hand in a burning fire, the natural rules are that your hand burns. Yet, when Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire by Nimrod, and when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar, they did not burn, because that was a miracle. And Hashem can always overpower nature, just like He did when He tore and He split the Red Sea. And through prayer we connect to Hashem, through prayer we have the power to break the natural hold of this realm. V'laze tzarich emunah. For that you have to have faith. She'ya'amin she'yesh mechadesh uv'yado lechadesh davar kirtzono. You have to believe that there is a power in this world called Hashem, who Hashem can create everything anew, and He creates everything anew at every single moment, and He can do whatever He wants in this realm. He's not bound by these rules. Thank you. and is not bound by these rules. Ve'ikar emuna b'chinat tefila. The main part of prayer, faith is prayer. So Rabbi Nachman emphasizes very importantly how important prayer is. Prayer is faith. Faith is the most important thing. Through faith we can govern the natural realm. More so, Rabbi Nachman also writes that prayer is so elevated, he brings it in the second part in the 25th Torah, where he says that we should make from our Torah's prayers. Everything that you learn from, try and make that into a prayer. The whole book called Likutei Tefillos, which was written by Rabbi Natan, is a book based on the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, and he turned them into prayers, into incredible prayers, because prayer is even more elevated than Torah. And I'll tell you why. There are many people who sit and learn Torah all day long, and they really and truly have got no faith. And how do you see that? They have no midas. They don't know how to behave. Not only do they not know how to behave at a time of crisis, they fall apart. Now, may none of us ever have a time of crisis, but these things do happen. There are many people who, when at the time when the test comes, they fail the test. Yet, people who pray, people who have faith, they might not be Talmidei Chachamim, but they have faith. They are connected to Hashem. At a time of crisis, they'll grow. They will not leave Hashem, nor will they forget Him for one second. And that's why Rabbeinu writes in the 31st Torah that a person has got to aspire to be both a righteous man and a Talmid Chacham, a Lamdan. But it's more important to be a righteous man than a Talmid Chacham. Because you see, a righteous man who might be an ignoramus is still a righteous man. A Talmid Chacham who is not a righteous man is a devil walking on two legs with a beard and pears. And that's the worst thing that you can have. And unfortunately, all of us know many, many of these devils walking on two legs with beards and pears. Unfortunately. Rabbi Nachman also writes about the importance of prayer. People don't know this. In the book Chayei Moharan is a book where Rabbi Natan wrote about all the stories and introduction that he had with Rabbi Nachman. Interestingly, do you know what the first Torah that Rabbi Natan heard from Rabbi Nachman? The first Torah that he heard was in the Likutei Moharan, the first part in the 44th Torah, where Rabbi Nachman speaks about the importance of when you pray, you've got to pray with enthusiasm. You've got to clap your hands when you pray. And why is that? There's a very famous Hasidic story about a traveler who once was walking past, and he had to stay over for Shabbos in a Hasidic town. And of course, before the Shabbos, he didn't know what to do, and he had a whole purse of money, so he gave the purse of money to the Rav of that town. Fine, the Rav is going to keep it for him till Motzei Shabbos. And during Shabbos, of course, he was the guest of the Rav. He was attending the davenings in the Rav's shul. And he sees there how the people of the Kehillah daven, they used to daven like the Kalin Hasidim, shouting, screaming, Baruch Atah! And shouting. The guest didn't really understand this. And, you know, it looked him a bit weird. And then he went to the Rav after the davening, after Myra was finished. And as they're walking back to the house, and he says to him, Rabbi, why do you shout? Speak normally, speak nicely, calmly, like well-behaved people. It doesn't have to shout in prayer. It doesn't have to sound like a Meshuggah in a house. They say that once the emperor of Germany, I think it was Franz Joseph, he was walking past by a shtiblach of Kalin Hasidim, and he heard them screaming. And he said, this is unbelievable. In Yiddishkeit, even the Meshuggahim have their own shul. So anyway, this guest goes back to the Rav, and he says to him, why are you screaming? The Rav doesn't say anything. And again, Shachris, again, screaming and shouting. Mincha, screaming and shouting. Maariv, the same thing. And after Maariv, the guest is preparing to go back home. And he comes to the Rav, and he says, thank you very much, Rabbi. Can you please give me back my purse? And the Rav says to him, what are you talking about? What purse? The guest says to him, Rabbi, I gave you my wallet. I gave you all my money. You were keeping it for me for Shabbos so that I wouldn't have an issa of muktzah of holding the money and carrying it from place to place. The Rav says, I don't know what you're talking about. What money? And the guest goes, Rabbi, give me my money, my money! And the Rabbi says, why are you shouting? Why can't you speak calmly? Say, like, you know, like a mensch, like a proper, well-behaved person. Please give me the money. And the guest says to him, Rabbi, when it hurts, you scream. And Rabbi says to him, good, you understood the point. When it hurts, you scream. When you're really connected to prayer, then you pray with all the zeal and zest that you have, with enthusiasm, with emotion. When your prayer looks like this, was the time, is time over yet? Please, let's get it over with. Ooh, look at these interesting things. Sure. Oh, I can see that Moshe came in with a new hat. That's very nice. What a lovely suit. Avrami has one. You're looking all around. You're not really connecting to prayer. You're doing a lot of other things. You know, by the way, it's a wonderful segula. If you ever want to have a clear mind to focus on business, stand for Shmona Esrei. Start davening. Shmona Esrei is the best segula if you're thinking about business, correct? During Shmona Esrei, you have the clearest thoughts. What am I going to do? Where am I going to invest my money? What am I going to do with this guy that took money away from me? When you're really praying, if you're really connected to it, you pray with enthusiasm. And this was the first Torah that Rabbi Natan heard from Rabbi Nachman. This is brought in Chayei Moharan in the 78th chapter. It says there that Rabbi Nachman was speaking about the Torah of how to clap when you're praying. And not only that, but listen to this. These are some very harsh words. Vesipuli, this is what Rabbi Natan says. I was told, Shebetchilat knisato lepo, when Rabbi Nachman entered at the beginning of the city of Breslev, Diber amad pam achat al petach bet ha-midrash beveito. He stood at the entrance of the Beis Midrash that was in his house. In Rabbi Nachman's house, he had a private Beis Midrash. Ve'ochiach et ha'olam al odot ha-tfilah she'ena mitpalelim karaui. And he rebuked the people who came to him for not praying properly. Ve'ana ve'amar, she'en shomim mishum echad me'amitpalelim she'yom chad kaf. That you can't hear from anyone who's praying. I can see no one is clapping. Umize hevanu miyad, from this we all understood, all the chassidim, she'en she'ohu otze leachzir ha'atara liyoshna, that he wants to bring things back the way they were, the way they properly should be. She'achziru lit'orer lit'palel bekavana, that people should wake up and start praying with kavana, with intention. Uvechiyut v'itla'avut uvekoach gadol, with all the livelihood and enthusiasm and power to put into their prayer. כמו החסידים הראשונים שהיו בימי הבעל שם טוב ותלמידיו הקדושים שהיו בדורות לפנינו. Just like the way the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov used to pray. Because you see, when you get excited about something, have you ever seen someone speak about his new business or his new investment in America? He doesn't go like this. I would like to tell you, I have currently invested $250,000 in a new apartment in New York. That's not the way he goes. I want to tell you, you won't believe it. I found this Metzia, $250,000. I bought 20 apartments in New York. What a Metzia! What are you getting all excited about? Because when you're really connected to something, you get excited about it. And this is the way we should be connected to prayer. This is how we should relate to the brachas and to prayer. Prayer is considered to be such an elevated thing that the reason, there's two sorts of prayer. There is the regular prayer that we have, which is the written prayer. Now, people do not understand how many secrets are in the written prayer that Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wrote. I'm going to give you one secret. Most of you will not know it. It is known as the Secret of Nine. Have any of you heard of the Secret of Nine? Pythagoras, who, as we know, was considered to be, one could say, the inventor of what's called modern mathematics. He lived in ancient Greece, so he wasn't that modern, but anyway, most of the mathematic theories have evolved through him. Pythagoras held that 9 is a holy number. In Kabbalah, 9 is considered to be the godly number. And do you know why? 9 has got an incredible pattern, a trait that no other number has. You multiply 9 by any number, and when you add the sum of all the numbers, you eventually always get to 9. I'll give an example. 9 times 9 is 81. 8 plus 1, 9. 9 times 47, 423. 4 plus 2 is 5. Sorry, 423. Yes, 4 plus 2 is 6. 6 plus 3 is 9. 9 times 815. 7,335. 7 plus 3 is 10. Plus 3 is 13. Plus 5 is 18. 18 is 8 plus 1. 8 plus 1 is 9. 9 has this incredible trait. It's irrelevant by what number you multiply it. When you add the digits until you can add them no more, you will always come to the number 9. And that's why 9, even in ancient times and in Kabbalah, is considered to be the godly number. The number that represents the divine. The number that represents Hashem. Now, we're going to give you a few examples of where 9 appears in our life, where 9 appears in our life and in prayer. Let's start with a few things. Okay? Kedusha. We have 2 main psukim that we say when we stand in Kedusha. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Tzevakot, Melo, Chol, Haaretz, Kevodo. 9 words. The second pasuk is Baruch Kevod Hashem Mimekomo. 4 words, count the letters, 18 letters. A plus 1, again, 9. Baruchu et Hashem Hamevorach. Baruch Hashem Hamevorach Leolam Vaed. Again, we've reached 9. According to Kabbalah, when you answer for Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah, you have to add the word Yisborach. Why? Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach Le'alam Ul'almei Alemaya Yisborach. Again, we reached 9. Wait, we haven't even started. The names of Hashem. Hashem has got two main names, which we use them on an everyday basis. Elohim and Adonai. Elohim is 5 letters. Adonai is 4 letters. 5 plus 4, 9. Now, this also appears in the most important stations of our lives. For example, how many months is a woman pregnant with a child? 9. When a child has a chalakah, which is considered to be the age where he starts entering the world of Torah, how old is he? 3. How many months are there in 3 years? 36 months. 3 plus 6, 9. The time when you're supposed to get married, what age is that? 18. Ben Shmonas for the chuppah. 1 plus 8, 9. Under the chuppah, when we say to the wife, when we say to our wife, the main words to which we betroth them, Hare at mikudeshet li betabat zu kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. 9. And we've just started. There are so many things, secrets in prayer, which go around this secret number of 9. As I said, 9 is the divine number, the godly number, the number which, of course, nothing can represent Hashem, but it is the number of Hashem, because it can never be divided. And irrelevant how much you multiply it by, you always come by 9. There's so many things in prayer which everything has been organized according to these secrets. That's why it's so important that when we pray, do not change what you're praying. If you daven Nusach Sfarad, you daven Nusach Sfarad. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, you daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Every single word has a secret and an intention, and that's why it was placed in exactly that place. Another example, we continue with 9. Okay? How many originally brachas are there in Shmoneh Esrei? Well, the name says Shmoneh Esrei, 18. What is the most important day of the year when we crown Hashem as our king? The godly day. Rosh Hashanah. How many shofar blowings do we have? We have 9 voices. Correct? There's 9 kolot. We have tkiah, shvorim, and tur. 9 times, that's the main thing. How many brachas do we have in the Rosh Hashanah prayer? Unlike any other day. Shabbos, regular day, we have 18. Shabbos, we have 7. How many prayers, how many brachas do we have in Rosh Hashanah? In the davening of Shmoneh Esrei, which is not really Shmoneh Esrei, 9. Look at how the day of crowning Hashem is all rotating around this number of 9. And we can go on and on and on and on to show you how the secret of 9 appears in every place. And that's why we need to respect the written prayer, not to change it, not to play around with it. But just like we have the written prayer, which we are obligated to pray 3 times a day in a minyan, and we will be speaking about this as we continue, we also have our own personal prayer. The way that we connect to Hashem on a personal basis. Now we here in Breslev, we call it Hitbodedut. Every single day, for 1 hour a day, we connect to Hashem in our own language. But you can add your own prayers, even in the conventional prayer in prayer in Shmoneh Esrei. Now, there's 2 main places where one adds your prayers halachically. The first place is Birkas Shomer Tefillah, before you say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomer Tefillah. And the second place is when you finish the prayer and you reach the Lokai Netzor, And this is already the end of davening. There you can add all the prayers that you want. Now, one is allowed, according to some poskim, to add prayers in each and every bracha. For example, if a person wants to bench for refuah, he can add in refa'enu. And there's even a special nusach which you add, yihiratzon, where we pray for special people who are not feeling well. A person can pray for panosa when he says baruch aleinu. Baruch aleinu, the bracha, when we ask Hashem to give us rain or to give us dew, that is the place to pray for panosa. But the most recommended thing to do is put all those prayers together and say them together at Shomea Tefillah. Because Shomea Tefillah is the prayer when we ask Hashem, please listen to our prayers. So that's the best place to add everything that we want to ask Hashem. Now, if anyone who looks at the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, at the first chapter, Halachas Aleph Beit, until also, I think, also Halacha Gimel, the Rambam there explains how prayer evolved. Prayer is a mitzvah from the Torah. We say every day in Shema Yisrael, Le'ovdo b'chol levavchem. And the Gemara says in Tanis, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first page, the second page, which, as we know, the Gemara always starts from Daf Beis, the second page, first side, Eizohi avodah shebalev, what is this prayer, what is this work of the heart, avodah shalev, worshipping Hashem with the heart, Heve omer zot tefillah, that is prayer. The Rambam hastens that praying to Hashem is a mitzvah from the Oraisa. Not Rabbonon, not a Minan, a mitzvah from the Oraisa. But the Rambam says, in ancient times, there was no Siddur. A person, how did he pray? Every single day, a person had an hour of his voidables. That was praying. A person went in the desert, everyone found their own corner, the desert's a big place, the most best place to do an Isboide Dosem, quiet, serene. Well, it normally is hot, but in the desert, in the Midbar, when Amisrael were there, it wasn't hot, they had the clouds protecting them, and no snakes, and no other insects or things to bite them. He used to go out and pray and speak to Hashem for an hour. And that was the mitzvah, commandment from the Torah. Just like putting on tefillin, you have to pray. Eventually, when Chazal saw that people found it difficult to pray to Hashem in their old words, why? Because people have lost faith. So Chazal wrote the Siddur, in which in the Siddur they put in the most wonderful secrets. One of them is just like the one we just now told you, the secret of nine. But, says the Rambam, the main aspect of praying is speaking to Hashem in your own language. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman of Breslev, he always said, I'm not coming to invent anything new. His boy the deuce is nothing new. That's the way it used to be. In Moshe Rabbeinu's time, there was no Siddur. How did Moshe pray to Hashem? The Torah is full of it. Moshe went to Hashem and started speaking to him. Hashem, please have mercy on your children. Hashem, please give them meat to eat. In his own words. The fact that we have already turned the words of Moshe into prayer, because they're written in the Holy Torah, those were the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Rabbi Nachman of Breslev says, you have to do his boidadus every single day for an hour. Now, let's be honest with it. We all find it difficult to do our his boidadus. I spoke to the Rosh Yeshiva Shlitzer, Rav Shalom Arush, and he said to me that for 10 years, every single day was an ongoing battle to do his hour of his boidadus. And he said to me, there were years, where he used to sit down and this was his boidadus. Harini Mekasher has asked me, Hashem, you commanded me to sit for an hour and do his boidadus. I don't know what to say. And after an hour, thank you Hashem for allowing me to sit for an hour with boidadus. The Rav himself told me that he had years where he did not know what to say in his boidadus. But nevertheless, not one day passed where he gave up and that he didn't do his hour, even if he had nothing to say. And after 10 years, he said, Hashem opened the gates. As the gates were open, and now the Rav can go for do an hour of 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours. I've even heard once how he one went and did 18 hours straight, because he's speaking to his best friend. There's not a problem speaking to your best friend for 18 hours and asking for whatever you want, and especially if you've got a lot on your mind, there's a lot to speak about. His boidadus, in whatever way you want to call it, is the actual proof whether you have faith in Hashem or you don't have faith in Hashem. And his boidadus is not something that's unique to Breslev. The Chofetz Chaim speaks about it. The Ramchal speaks about it. Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about it. All G'dolei HaDorah speak about speaking to Hashem. The Rambam says that is prayer. And that's why we should realize the importance. Why are we giving all this introduction about prayer? Because before we start going into the halachas of praying, and the halachas that might seem even maybe a bit tedious about how to bench and when to bench and how to pray and when to pray and what to say and what not to say. First of all, we have to realize the elevated status of prayer, the importance of prayer, and how prayer is, in a way, a mirror and a proof of our faith in Hashem. But we also must realize that this is only one aspect of prayer. There's also the aspect of Hisbodedus. And that aspect of Hisbodedus is the prayer that was originally existed Am Yisrael, something that for us Chassidei Breslev, it is considered to be Yehareg Val Yehavor. In other words, irrelevant what you do, you've got to do your hour. The Rav once said to me, which is a very truthful sentence, but the Rav, people don't realize this. The Rav said to me, a person who doesn't go to Uman can still call himself a Breslev Chassid if he does an hour of his Bodidus every single day. But a person who, even if he spends his whole life in Uman, but doesn't do an hour of his Bodidus every single day, doesn't have the right to call himself a Breslev Chassid. Because in Breslev, his Bodidus is higher than everything. Who said that? Not me. Rabbi Nachman says that. Rabbi Nachman says in Nikutei Maharan, in the second part, in the 25th Torah, Hisbodedus hi ma'ala elyona v'gdola minako. There's nothing higher than doing your Avis Bodedus. So even if you're afraid of flying, and you're afraid of going by boat, and you don't really want to travel for a few weeks, you know, reaching Ukraine by car, and you're a bit scared of what's going to happen on the way, and it's not just that, it's because going through Syria in order to pass with your car is a bit problematic now. Well, it wasn't problematic, now it's even more problematic. And you find it difficult to go to Uman, fine. You can still call yourself a breast of the chassid. But if you don't do an Avis Bodidus every single day, like the Rebbe said that one has to do an hour every single day, then first of all, that means that you've got a problem with your faith. Because if we really and truly had faith, we would do an hour. It's the best time. I'm not saying, don't think, I'm sitting here, don't think that for me doing this Bodidus is easy. It is not. It is an ongoing battle every single day. What to say, how to say, how to speak. My biggest problem, I'm saying about me, is that I connect to Hashem through Torah. I find it difficult to connect to Hashem through prayer. And why is that? That is because I have a problem with my emunah. I have a problem with my faith. I've got to strengthen my faith. Baruch Hashem, I came to this yeshiva where I can learn how to be a real Jew and not just a Jew who knows all these different things, interesting things about Torah. We have, in davening, we have three main times that we daven. Morning, afternoon, and evening. Now, if we'll notice, these prayers were set by our holy forefathers, and there's also a beautiful hint about it. Avraham Avinu, he is the one who organized and set the prayer of Shachris. Avraham, the second letter of his word, is Beis. Beis is also the first letter of Boker, morning. Avraham, Beis of Avraham, he is the one who set the prayers, the morning prayers. Yitzchak set the afternoon prayers, Mincha. The second letter of the word Yitzchak is Tzadik. Tzadik is Tzohorayim, afternoon. Yaakov Avinu, he is the one who set and organized the prayers of the evening of Mariv. The second letter of Yaakov is Ayin, and that is Arvis. So we have an Erev, Avraham the morning, Yitzchak the afternoon, Yaakov the Erev. David HaMelech, the second letter of his name is Vav. He is the one who set the prayer of Vatikin. David, because David HaMelech was up all night. Aira Shachar, he was always up at Vatikin, and he always davened Vatikin. There's a joke that the Kotzke used to say that there's a machlokes who set Vatikin. Was it David HaMelech or was it Lot? Because the second letter of Lot is also Vav, because all the drunkards, they always want to wake up exactly in the morning so they can go to the pub as the doors open. They daven quickly Vatikin, they run to the neighborhood pub so they can get their first pint of beer already at that moment. But that was only as a joke, the Kotzke said that. David HaMelech is the one who amended Vatikin. It's not just that, the prayers were also amended according to the sacrifices that existed in Beis HaMikdash. The morning prayers, Shachris, is instead of Tomid Shel HaBokir. We used to sacrifice every single morning a korban called Tomid. Every single morning. Weekdays, Shabbos, irrelevant. So the Shachris prayers replace that korban that we have missing. Mincha replaces Tomid of Ben Arbaim. which is the tummy that used to be sacrificed in the mincha time between the evening, between midday and the evening. Mariv replaces the sacrifices, the korbanos. There was no sacrificing anything on in the evening, but the korbanos were put on the altar, on the mizbeach, and there they were left to burn all through the night. Musaf, in the days that we have Musaf, is against the korban, an extra korban. Musaf is the Hebrew translation is addition. It's an addition to the regular sacrifices. So we see how all the prayers, everything here is set so correctly, so accurately against our forefathers instead of the sacrifices that we're lacking now. This was now just a small share, a glimpse of the importance, the holiness, the secrets that exist within prayer. And Bezras Hashem, we'll be starting to learn the different halachas relating to the prayer, how the prayer is built, praying before the prayer, the brachas, kriyas shema, shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv. And until then, may you have a wonderful week, a lovely Shabbos, and Bezras Hashem, we'll meet again at this time next week, Thursday. Kol tov.